All right, well, we've been talking about biblical financial principles and some different things on along those lines. We're going to continue to do that probably for a while. You know, we just gave an overview, and first of all, and then last week we were talking about how historically always people that serve God, they've been blessed financially. You know, they've always had their needs met. It just historically, it's always been that way. And you know, if you haven't had a chance to listen to those, I encourage you to listen to those. They're online. But today we're going to talk about just taking your place and what that has to do with your prosperity, being in the place that God told you to be. Because like we said, people can make money. You don't have to serve God to make money. Okay, it's always been that way. People have been rich. You know, psalmists and different people say, you know, what? These people, the ungodly, why do they prosper so much? They're graded on them. Then they realize their end. They don't know God, just like we were saying a little bit ago. There's nothing. I don't care how much money you have. It's not in the amount of things you have. If you don't know the living God, you're poor. So people can go and make money without God. It's a fact. Okay? But to live the way God would have us to live content in every way, prosperity is just not financial. It's every area of your life, every area of our lives. If we're prosperous in our health, in our relationships, in our material, in our mind, in our emotions, that, you know, you put it all together. It's all a complete package, and that's the way God wants us. And part of what he wants us then, though, is to have our needs met. And of course, he does. I'm going to read it. Let's turn to a scripture before we really get going here, but let's turn to a Proverbs. Proverbs 10, quoted this, I think, in one of the other sermons, but we'll turn there. Proverbs 10:22. God is so faithful. God is such a faithful God. He looks over us. He takes care of us. He is faithful. Proverbs 10:22. The blessing of the Lord makes one rich, and he adds no sorrow with it. The blessing of the Lord makes one rich, and he adds no sorrow with it. That's the kind of blessing. Those are the kind of riches we want. I don't want to be rich at the cost of other things and having sorrow. You can have riches at the cost of your health. You can have riches at the cost of your relationships. You can have riches at the cost of your mind. But God, the blessing of the Lord, makes one rich, and he adds no sorrow to it. That's the riches that we want. That we want to be in the center of God's will, going along with him. And then we will have all our needs met. We'll be taken care of, and we won't look back with regret. That's the blessing of God. That's where we want to be. So we want to talk about being, and part of that is being in your place, being at where he told us to be. That is vital, again, to godly prosperity, and we're talking about material things specifically. Let's turn over to John 2. There are a lot of facets to prosperity. There are a lot the Word of God says about prosperity. It's not all one area. It's not just giving. It's not just being diligent. It's not just, you know, certain things that's like this is the switch. There are things that a lot the Word of God has to say, and we need to keep it balanced. You don't want to emphasize one thing at the expense of everything else. You know, God has a lot to say about walking in prosperity, and we want the whole package, but we're talking specifically about materially. But God will never take one area of our life, like material, and keep it out of balance with the rest of our life. He wants us to be completely prosperous. John 2, verse 1. It says, on the third day, there was a wedding in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. Now both Jesus and his disciples were invited to the wedding. And when they ran out of wine, the mother of Jesus said to him, "They have no wine." Jesus said to her, "Woman, what does that your concern have to do with me? My hour has not yet come." His mother said to the servants, "Whatever he says to you to do, whatever he says to you, do it." Okay, we're going to read the rest of it, but notice that he said to them, "Whatever he says, whatever he tells you to do, do that." Okay? Verse 6, now there were set there 6 water pots of stone according to the manner of purification of the Jews, containing 10 or 20 or 30 gallons apiece. Jesus said to them, fill the water pots with water. And they filled them up to the brim. And he said to them, draw some out now and take it to the master of the feast. And they took it. When the master of the feast had tasted the water that was made wine and did not know where it came from, but the servants who had drawn the water knew, the master of the feast called the bridegroom, and he said to them, every man at the beginning sets out the good wine, and when the guests have well drunk, then the inferior. You have kept the good wine until now. This beginning of signs Jesus did in Cana of Galilee and manifested his glory, and his disciples believed in him. So that was the first miracle recorded that Jesus did. Jesus wasn't without an answer in this situation. But notice in verse 5, his mother said to the servants, whatever he says to you, do it. And we could take that in our own lives. When we're talking about what we're supposed to do in life, it's whatever he says to us to do. See, the prosperity was with, if they would have gone and done something else, the wine wouldn't have been manifested like that. But the mother, or Mary, said, whatever he says to you, do it. And that's what we have to keep in mind. In our lives, we want to do whatever he tells us to do. Okay? And we're talking about financially, prosperity and whatever, and in a whole way, not just money at the expense of other things, but whatever he is telling us to do, that's what we want to do. Okay? There's a place when God Almighty tells us to do something, he has provision tied to it. Okay? It'd be like the general in a military force. If he's going to give instruction for any part of that military force to do something, he's already planned out how to get them supplies, how to get their needs taken care of, how to get everything they need. That's his job. You know, the supply lines, all the things, all the trucks that need to go there, the provision is going to be there. But if the people decide, I don't want to do that, I'm going to go over in this other area. It's just as good. I see some things going over there. If it's not coming through the chain of command, the supply is not going to be there. And it's not a trivial thing. You think of the military actions that we've taken in recent years. It's not a trivial thing to get trucks and supplies across the desert to a certain place. And if you decide you're going to go 100 miles in a different direction, guess what you're going to have? Desert. Okay? We need to be where God told us to be. Okay? It's one thing for the world when they don't have a master and they're not serving the God, the Lord. They say, well, what job should I take? You know, well, you just think about it. We weigh all the options. What job should I take, or where should I live? And it's just all natural. We might go through some of that process when we're asking God, but the key is, where does God want us? What does he want us to do? What job does he want us working at? Because there's the provision that he's hooked up. And you think about it, I mean, when we think about it, if we're serving God and we've made him our master, we're not just parroting words. We're not just sitting in church, you know, because it salves our conscience. But we're actually serving the King of the universe. We've given our lives over to Jesus. Then what he says matters completely. You know, some people look at it and say, well, you know, all the jobs are the same. I can just go to any job. I can just go to any church. No, we ought to look to God and find out where we're supposed to be hooked up. Go to the general. Go to the one that is making all the plans, because he has all his children all over the world. And you know what? It's like a big puzzle. He's got a piece for everybody to do. There's a lot of people that aren't in their place and they wonder why things don't work. It's because they're in the wrong place. They're not listening to God. They think it's like, well, you know, bonus if they get where God wants them to be, but I'll just make this decision, or this pays the most money, or whatever. Don't ever be led by that. Go by where God wants you. Be led by the Spirit of God, and God will always take care of you where he leads you, period. Otherwise, he'd be unfaithful. Can you ever imagine God leading you somewhere and not being faithful to take care of you? Now, again, people think, well, I'm just going to go over and do this, makes more money. Yeah, but God knows. If that's where God is leading you, fine, go there. But if you're making the decision with your head and God's really leading you somewhere else, but you're thinking, well, this makes more money, you don't know what's down the track. You don't know what's going to happen. You don't know if that company is going to go out of business. You don't know if somehow there's going to be something else that's going to affect your family or your health or whatever in that situation. Don't be led by the natural. Be led by the supernatural. Be led by Him. Even if you can't see. Even if you don't know what's around the corner. See, in the military, you don't go, and I've not been in the military. It's only from reading and stuff. But I know enough that you don't go and do what you want to do. You take commands. That's the reason why. Because you may think you can see the best way, but they have, the people that are telling you what to do have air support or whatever. They can see what's around the bend. They will tell you, no, you don't go there because there's this waiting for you. Even though it looks good, go this way. Okay? That's the way we want to be with God, and that does affect what we experience as far as prosperity. Let's turn over to Joshua 1:8. We're going to read a few scriptures here. It says, "This book of the law, the word of God, shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it." The word of God. Okay, this is the word of God they had at this point. This is the word of God we have at this point. Okay? How we follow God. One way, He's going to tell you what to do and not do here. We don't want to get outside of the Word. But then, in here, it doesn't tell us, you know, what job to take or anything specific does. But right now, I'm talking about one way we're led. One way we get in that place is by the Word. You don't want to go outside of the Word. Don't do something that's outside of the Word. "This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth. You shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success." Okay? When we follow the Word of God, we keep our life in line with the Word of God, with what He says, His ways of doing things, His directions. That's one part. That'll get you. If you're following the Word of God, it's never going to get you in the wrong place. Okay, so that's part of it. But there's also the spiritual part. Let's go over to Colossians 1:9. You know, we're not going to go into these things a lot as far as the Word or being led by the Spirit, but in the context of this, we're going to touch on a few of these things. Those are other subjects in themselves. Colossians 1, verse 9, "For this reason we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding." Why? "That you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing Him, being fruitful in every good work." Being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to His glorious power, for all patience and long-suffering with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. See, verse 9, we are praying for you to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you may walk worthy of the Lord. See, following His will and knowing what He wants us to do and being built up in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing Him. That should be our desire. We want to be fully pleasing to God. We want to know what His will is for us. Like I said, it's not going to say Jim Preston should go here and such in the Bible, and this is what your will or my will is for your life. It's not going to say that. But it does give parameters, and it does say then that we can be led. And God will pray. It's a good thing to pray for ourselves. That I would be. You could just insert yourself. "I don't cease to pray that I would be filled with the knowledge of your will, God, in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that I may walk worthy of you, Lord, fully pleasing you, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of you, God." You could pray that for yourself, that you would know what His will is, because there we're going to be fruitful, there we're going to walk worthy of Him. And yes, there is going to be provision there, in that place, where God has led us, where He's ordained us, where the general has set a place for us. Let's go over to Luke 12. And you know, you think about it, why would you ever want to be somewhere else? Why would you ever want to be in a different place? Well, Sometimes our flesh doesn't want to do certain things. Sometimes we can't see certain things around the corner. Sometimes we can't see what's going on. And sometimes things look good in the natural or whatever. We get ideas. We're not thinking spiritually. So we think we want to do something else. We all can be guilty of that. That's why we got to walk by faith and not by sight. That's why we walk according to our spirit and not according to the natural. Save ourselves a lot of heartache that way. So we read some of this the other week, Luke 12, verse 22. Again, I'm not going to go into the parable. He just got done giving this parable of this rich man that thought he had all this money and ended up, he was going to die the next day. We don't want to be like that. In context, he's talking about money. Verse 22, and you can go back and listen to those if you haven't. Verse 22, then he said to his disciples, therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, nor about the body, what you will put on. Life is more than food, and the body is more than clothing. Consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap, which have neither storehouse nor barn, and God feeds them. They don't have a financial planner. Not that there's nothing wrong with that. I'm not saying that. He's saying, look at the birds. They don't have all the things you think you need, but God feeds them anyway. We just want to make sure our faith is on God and not man. Verse 24, consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap, which have neither storehouse nor barn, and God feeds them. Of how much more value are you than the birds? Hopefully our answer is much more. And which of you by worrying can add one cubit to his stature? He's saying you can't make yourself any bigger. You can't do that. Worrying's not going to do any good. 26, if you then are not able to do the least, why are you anxious for the rest? He's saying you can't change anything about your stature, about your appearance. Why are you so worried about that? So don't worry about that. You can't do anything about that. Why are you so anxious about what you're going to eat and all this, you know, what's going on in your life? What this apply. Verse 27, consider the lilies, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin, and yet I say to you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. If then God so clothes the grass, which today is in the field and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O you of little faith? You know, the grass of the field, that's gone. The grass is not eternal like we are. We are eternal beings. We are going to be with God forever if we've trusted Jesus. Either way, we're going to live forever. And so he's saying, how much more worth are you? Verse 29, and do not seek what you should eat or what you should drink. Have an anxious mind, nor have an anxious mind, for all these things the nations of the world seek after. And your Father knows that you need them. See, he's saying the rest of the people, they seek after that. They make that their business to go after those things. They make it, first of all, their business to do, and a lot of people are like that in the world. Their first priority is to feed themselves. That's natural. God put us in that. But who's the one that gave us that desire? Who's the one that gave us the ability to even go out and get food? It's God. So number one, we have to look to him. What do you want me to do? All these other people, they don't even look to God. They're just looking to, I got to get my needs taken care of, my family, and I'm going to die. And that's generally the way people operate. But he's saying the nations of the world do this. Verse 30, for all these things the nations of the world seek after, and your Father knows that you need these things. He's not dumb. He knows. But seek first the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added to you. See, again, seek first his kingdom. Put God first. And that includes then being in the place that God has for us. Go to the place that God has for you. Don't put, you know, you say, well, I got to go over here, but I got to get my needs taken. I need money. I need rent. God knows it. God knows that. He knows. He said, seek him first. Put him first. He knows all those things need to be taken care of. He knows. Some people act like God doesn't know that. You know, well, you know, God, you know, he doesn't know that I have this mortgage. You don't think he knows that? God knows that. He created the whole world. He knows everything. He knows we need it, but he wants our trust to be in him. He wants us to be led by Him. He wants us to trust Him enough to say, look, God, what do You want me to do? What do You want for my life? Where do You want me to be? Okay, I'll be there. And I'm going to trust You to do what You said and add these things to me. And not be like people that don't trust God and just go, oh, I don't care about God. God doesn't look like He's showing up here, so I'm going over here. I'm going to make sure that my needs are taken care of because they don't look like God's taken care of. Well, God wants us to believe Him and have faith, and He will take care of us. He said, but seek first the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added to you. He's faithful. Let's turn over to 1 Kings 17. We're going to give a couple examples of this. God is so faithful to provide for us. 1 Kings 17, verse 1. And Elijah the Tishbite of the inhabitants of Gilead, said to Ahab, as the Lord God of Israel lives before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years except at my word. So a famine's coming. I mean, drought. Then the word of the Lord came to him saying, get away from here and turn eastward and hide by the brook Cherith, which flows into Jordan, And it will be that you shall drink from the brook I have commanded the ravens to feed you there. So he went and did according to the word of the Lord, for he went and stayed by the brook Cherith, which flows into the Jordan. The ravens brought him bread and meat in the morning and bread and meat in the evening, and he drank from the brook. Now notice he gave him a specific brook. Some people think all brooks are the same. Well, it doesn't matter. I heard brook. I'll go by this brook, you know? I heard I got to go and get a job. That all jobs are the same. I'll get this job. I'm going to move to a city. I think, you know, all jobs are the same. I'm just going to go here. And I know if I just go here, well, God's faithful to take care of me. Well, where did He tell you to go? See, there is that component to it. Yes, God's faithful. And yes, He's going to bless us as much as He can. But there is a place that God has told each of us to be, and that's where we're going to be fed. That's where our needs are going to be met. And I'm talking about following God. Yes, I know we can go just make money. I'm talking about the will of God Almighty for our lives, where everything is flowing together. There is a place. It's not all the same. And we got to know that, that God will lead each of us individually. He doesn't tell me for all you, necessarily. We have to be willing to go before God and just be sensitive to the inside and know where He wants us to be. And notice the ravens in verse 6 brought him bread and meat in the morning and bread and meat in the evening, and he drank from the brook. But verse 5, verse 4, he said, and it will be that you shall drink from the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed you there. That's where the ravens were. See, he commanded them to feed them, to feed Elijah at this brook. Now, what if he went to the next brook over? Were the ravens going to be there? No, because what? God had commanded them to be at the other brook. Okay, so in our own lives, we just got to make sure, and it's not something that God's made hard. We follow the word. We follow what He's telling us in our heart, and we get in the right place. And we're in the right place at the right time. And God's provision is there. And we're not getting, you know, all stressed out because nothing's going right. It's because, you know, stress might come even in the center of God's will. I'm not saying that. But it's not unnecessary. Yeah, we have an enemy. Yeah, he'll fight us. But when we know where God has told us to be, everything we need is going to be there. Victory is there. Provision is there. Health is there. And so we stay with God. And so verse 7, and it happened after a while that the brook dried up because there had been no rain in the land. Now verse 8, there's another story, just right back to back, with the same principle. Then the word of the Lord came to him, saying, arise, go to Zarephath, which belongs to Sidon, and dwell there. See, I have commanded a widow there to provide for you. See, now the brook dried up. Now he could have said, but God told me to be here. Why is the brook drying up? I'm staying. My God, I'm in faith. I know what God heard, and it's been supernatural and the ravens have been here. I'm staying here. And this brook, you know, some people, they get off, then they say, well, the brook come back. You know, whatever. I know I heard God. It's dried up. But there was another word God moved him on. Okay? It's not one word for our whole life. That's why we have to have a relationship with God. That's why we got to stay connected with God. Follow Him and know, you know, we want to know what our current assignment is. Not the one 20 years ago. Okay? You know, that's what we got to be sure that we are hooked up with God and saying, okay, God, so if it changes, I got the update. I'm not checked out. So, excuse me. He says in verse 9, see, I have commanded a widow there to provide for you. Now it's changed, okay? So, what did he do? Verse 10, he arose and went to Zarephath. And when he came to the gate of the city, indeed a widow was there gathering sticks. And he called to her and said, please bring me a little water in a cup that I may drink. And as she was going to get it, he called to her and said, please bring me a morsel of bread in your hand. So she said, as the Lord your God lives, I do not have bread, only a handful of flour in a bin and a little oil in a jar. And see, I am gathering a couple sticks that I may go in and prepare it for myself and my son that we may eat it and die. And Elijah said to her, do not fear and do not do as you have said. Go and do as you have said. But make me a small cake from it first and bring it to me, and afterward make some for yourself and your son. For thus says the Lord God of Israel, the bin of flour shall not be used up, nor shall the jar of oil run dry until the day the Lord sends rain on the earth. So she went away and did according to the word of Elijah, and she and her household ate for many days. The bin of flour was not used up, nor did the jar of oil run dry, according to the word of the Lord, which he spoke by Elijah. So you see the supernatural provision for Elijah, and you see the supernatural provision for the widow woman. Because he spoke to her as a prophet, and she could have said no. You know, she could have said no, forget that. I'm going to eat my stuff and die. But no, he's a prophet of God. She took him as a prophet of God. She obeyed what he said as unto the Lord. And she was taken care of. And he was taken care of. But notice, it was where God had told Elijah to go. It wasn't something he made up. It wasn't something he thought would be good. He was led by the word of God. And that's the way we ought to be. Led by the word of God. Led by him. Led by the Word of God and the Spirit working together so that we're in the right place. We're in that place where the provision of God is. So that when we get to the end of our lives, we can say, God, I went where you told me to do. I finished the work you told me to do. And God will always be faithful. He'll always be faithful to provide for us when we're in the middle of His will.